see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
And I was a legend!
Put moron number two on the phone.
This isn't bragging, this is ranting.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Oh, Monday, you should feel good. Yes. We've got a nice show lined up for you.
What do you got?
Damien Barrett, about to roll in.
Big news
going on.
Head office.
It's going on.
Mm.
And then later, Mark Howard from India.
Lucknow.
About to commentate a massive IPL game. He's already ripped two to shreds, so we're going to get Howie on a Zoom. I see old Topics Brownless. I don't know why we ever do that first up in a week.
Let's swap
Monday's
that.
Not your go anyway.
No, let's swap that.
I think maybe you should look at that.
Right, sure.
Just with wit as we get into a break. So hello to you on a Monday, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jim, and a nice little joke. It'll be a short joke to finish with. It will be.
No.
Very good last week. People telling me left, right, and centre.
Ones.
At restaurants, I'm down at the MCG saying, great week of jokes.
Yeah. That's like going to the comedy festival and just doing the same stuff every year.
You know what day it is, Jim?
Monday.
No, Dick.
it isn't Monday.
The 1st of May.
Thank you, Bill.
You know what that celebrates, the 1st of May normally celebrates? The 8-hour working day for Australians. Did you know that?
Nope.
Don't get it mixed up with May Day, which is a word used by aviators to sound.
Oh, I don't know.
What's going on?
This is what happens on a Monday.
To send life-threatening emergency call is the Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
Yes.
You say it three times.
Yes.
But that's right. 8-hour working day is the 1st of May. It celebrates that.
Right, does
just
it?
Just some info for you.
Yeah.
Unlike our 2-hour working day, Jim.
What, slightly longer than two?
Well, Rabbits only does two. G'day, Rabs.
Oh, Darcy, a bit of heat in the contest at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. We had to work really hard to get back into this game. They just absolutely slaughtered us in the first quarter. Feels like we didn't want too many handballs. Their big guys came to play, their mark and everything. So we had to fight really hard to stay in that one.
All right, good luck in the second half, mate.
Didn't quite have the 7-second delay ready.
Hutto, who did? Couldn't hit the dump button.
Yes.
What about Darcy? Been so good with his chats and his talks, and then he drops the magic.
Just a little magic.
So everyone does it now and then, Jim.
Right.
Righto, Raps.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hurry up, Bill, and get to the rap.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Here we go. There's a new CEO of the AFL. Andrew Dillon. Well done, Dilza. Well done.
Look at Damo. He's got no idea what he's doing.
Touching on that with Damo when he comes in.
In-house lawyer. Yeah. Since 2000, Jim, including general counsel, which is the in-house legal department.
Right.
So well done to him. Very good.
To Paul Sheehan's daughter. Famous cricketer.
Yeah,
used to be the president of the MCC. Very nice man, and she's lovely too. They're good people. Well done.
Principal of Geelong College.
He was, and then Melbourne Grammar.
And then me and Oscar having a kick on Geelong College one day. Uh-huh. Just a little kick.
Yeah.
So a car pulls up, bloke gets out, walks beautifully. Paul Sheehan. Sorry, can't kick on the oval.
You're not allowed here. Good, kicked you off.
No, lovely bloke. Beautiful looking man. Good looking bat. Stylish, that's
stylish.
The word. Played 290 games, Andrew Dillon, for old Zabs.
Zabs?
6 premierships in a row.
Wow.
Back to back to front, the back to back to front.
What's Onion wearing outside, please? He's got a horse blanket on.
He's not right. Over his head.
Country Road or something like that.
Here's Andrew. Very humbling moment, I would have thought, for him.
It's a really humbling moment for me to be appointed as the next CEO of the AFL. It's really important, and I can't stress it enough, that we are a game for everyone. A game that is and will remain accessible, affordable, and safe. And a game where everyone feels welcome. I believe strongly in the power of footy to connect people, regardless of your background, gender or beliefs, and I want to have footy in every home across the country. We're going to make sure that football is the number one sport of choice for everyone all across Australia.
Well said.
Well said.
Community and country is going to get involved in, which will be great for a lot of those country teams out there.
Yep.
Cozzy Pickett has signed on for 4 years, Jimmy boy.
Nice.
Geez, he's gone.
They were circling.
They were. Port Adelaide.
Yep.
But he's gone into the midfield and playing some really good footy. So well done, Melbourne, there. What about the Pies winning again, Jim?
I know.
Could you believe that?
Ridiculous. We'll get to that with Damo.
Will we?
Yep. That's what he's in for.
Are you talking about that, Damo? Oh, it just gives a little nod there. We won't talk about Dimmer then. No. Damo, Dimmer. Yes, all right. Cricket. You're going to talk about IPL, Damo? Thinks he knows everything. Look at him. The Mumbai Indians, Jim, needed 17 runs off the final over, okay, to win overnight.
Yes.
Tim David steps up. And have a listen. What happens?
Straight down the ground. And it goes for six.
Six.
And he goes again. Six more.
Six more.
Smiles on the faces of the Mumbai Indian supporters. Bang! Oh, it's three on the trot. It's all over. It's history created. Thousandth game of the IPL. And it's the Mumbai Indians who pulled it off.
Only needed three balls.
How good did that sound coming off of that, by the way? That's good hitting.
Good hitting, David. Well done.
David. Just giving him surname only. Good hitting, David. Yeah, right.
David Tim, Live Golf. Guess who has won back-to-back? Guess who won in Adelaide? You're there.
Taylor Gooch.
Graham Gooch.
Yep.
He's beat Sergio.
Yes, again.
In a playoff, Jim. Back-to-back, another $4 million check.
Yes, US.
US.
Yep.
Well done to him. That is great. That was over in Singapore.
Yep.
Good course?
Dunno. But that is amazing cash. That's 10 bricks, our money, or in advance of, in 2 weeks' work.
Oh. Would have been green, would have had 18 pins in it, would have looked good. Bit of water maybe down the side.
Thank you, Bill.
Cameron Smith was 12 under, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci won 17 under.
Right.
So the LPGA, Hannah Green, who's won before, she's continued Australia's golden run of the global golf stage. She won a playoff also, right?
Yes.
Guess how much she picked up? 450,000.
1,000.
Yes. US.
She won a major, remember that, and flew back into the Perth airport. And the
cameras are all set up.
Waiting. She just walked straight past them and no one stopped her. So she doubled back and said, I'm guessing you're waiting for me.
No, she said to the cameraman, oh, who are you waiting for? And this bloke goes, oh, this Hannah Green girl, she's a really good golfer. She goes, yeah, well, that was me.
That'd be me.
He said, just walk down the stairs again, we'll grab
exactly,
you.
We'll get
that
you.
Is true. The Mexican Open, speaking of golf, the PGA Tours, Mexican Open. I tell you what, there was just bees or fleas. I weren't sure.
This was the sixth hardest hole. Uh-oh. What's happening here?
Oh, get down.
They're being swarmed right now with bees.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, I'm lucky. I'm about 150 yards away, but all the players.
I've never seen this before.
That's the most unusual thing I've ever seen on the golf course. Everybody just hit the deck.
Wow.
It's like a fog of bees that just blew through. Now where are they going?
All right. It's
resigned. They're all lying on the ground.
Tony Finau, nice winning for him.
Was it? Eric Van Ruin was about to hit off.
Yeah.
It was a fog of bees.
Yeah, it was.
Took the sting out of the game.
That's how we go.
Super.
That's how we go on a Monday.
The Vixens won again. They are flying, defeated the Firebirds. And the Pies lost again to Adelaide Thunderbirds. And I think that'll do us. You had enough?
Yeah, I think we've had
Oscar Piastri finished 11th.
11th, yes.
He had food poisoning, so bloody good effort. In the car, Jim.
Rabs is just playing a song to wrap you up. Demo next, because there's some big news today in footy.
I just told you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, that's all right. They don't mind the minute in a sport.
Oh, my God.
Rap.
The M sport in a minute.
That's it.
Plenty of AFL news kicking about, including a brand new CEO. And to unpack it all, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Welcome, Purple, new CEO of the AFL.
It took a while, Jim. Hello, Bill.
Yeah,
Rabs. They got there, though. And, the man who has basically overseen and even in some respects signed off on every decision made by Gillon McLachlan in his 9 years as CEO is the new man to take AFL further. And while there's been a lot of narrative and even criticism about the delay in process and even the selection of Andrew Dillon over an outsider, it's impossible to look through his CV. It's also impossible to know what's gone on in the past 9 years and to think it's a bad decision. I mean, he knows the game. He knows the way the clubs work, Bill. Yes. He's got relationships, existing strong relationships with all the key people at the clubs. So no one has to start afresh when it comes to negotiating with the new man.
I read he's done everything at the AFL.
He pretty much has, yeah.
Even written some rules. Some game rules.
Yeah, we had the footy portfolio for some time and has overseen that in his executive.
Loves his racing.
Loves his racing.
His grandfather was knighted. He was a sir.
Didn't know that.
And two uncles are priests, and one of them, Father Kevin Dillon, is huge down, he's retired, huge down Geelong. So a good family there.
Yeah, and to go through what you need to do with these types of applications and processes, you're not going to get to the end game if you've got any flaws in your system. If there's any skeletons there, if there's any problems. And that's not to say the people who came second, third, fourth and fifth did. It's just that he was still standing when it was all said and done. And the psychology aspect of the testing, I mean, to the lay person, and I don't claim to know what it was, but I've been told the one for this role was as vigorous as any candidates for any role I've ever been put through.
You would have worked with him, Jim.
Yeah, he's a very good operator. Very good man too. So I think he'll do a superb job. If you're going to elevate someone from underneath, you've got to be even more strenuous because it looks like boys for the jobs for the boys and all that sort of thing.
Particularly with the AFL, which is regularly accused of that. Yep. Yeah,
so they would have been very, very strict in their in their testing, and he would have come through in flying colours.
And it wasn't
he'll do a very good job.
Yeah, sorry, Jim. It wasn't plain sailing, as we know. I mean, the Kylie Watson-Wheeler push got real, and she had significant support at commission level, and that was that came to a head during the gather round period. And obviously, Travis Auld, Kylie Rogers internally, and
Gill himself?
Bill, you were big on this for the last month or so.
I got told 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Look, there was no doubt that was a possibility. And the fact that it is now May of 2023 when Gill made the announcement in April of 2022, you know, basically enhances and reinforces your point. And even in the past month and even fortnight, there was a possibility where Gill was going to go on further. Now, as it is, it's still a long time between now and him departing. That being October.
So what will his role be going forward?
It'll be to bed down Tassie. I still feel it'll be to bed down the messiness that is still attached to the Hawthorn racism situation.
Where are we with that?
Look, all I can say, and as far as you can tell, Bill, from the outside, it's moving, and it's moving toward a point where they're hopeful at some stage soonish, and that still needs to be contextually referred to soonish, given it was a September last year revelation, that we're not too far away. It requires mediation. That will be the next step, the way I've been told of that situation today, and that will be the most serious aspect. The TV rights, Jim, as you know, are done for the next, this year and 8 years beyond that, so that won't be a huge issue. Yeah, there's this one and next year are the old deal, and there's a plus seven on top of all of that. So Tassie too, just while we're talking about the big changes, clubs will tomorrow have that voted on, and there might be some opposition to it. There might even be one or two who would rather it didn't happen, but it won't be anywhere near the number required to stop it happening, and as such, Wednesday afternoon in Hobart, they will officially publicly announce, by my way of reckoning on the timeline that lies between now and Wednesday, announce that the Hobart team, the Tassie team, will get the 19th licence.
Yep. Mm. Well, all of that's really good. I think the Hawthorn, you know, issue with Clarko and Fags especially has to be resolved immediately. It is appalling that it's taken this long, and the pressure those two have been placed under because of it is unrealistically, I think, weighing on both of them.
Oh, it has been.
No doubt.
Absolutely it has been. And again, what that looks like and what form it comes in, what sanctions are attached, if sanctions are attached, and what happens next legally, it will all play out in a pretty significant form beyond the AFL outcome.
And you say soon?
I say soon, Bill, but that is on the proviso that the mediation needs to go as smoothly as people now believe it could. Now, no mediation ever goes completely smoothly, particularly with something as contentious as this. But the fact that, you know, I believe they're prepared to head down that mediation path is a key plank of what is to lie
ahead. So the interest will be with Tassie for me how they're going to do it. Are we at a bye every week? So once the Tassie team's in, when things like Gather Round happen, what does a team just miss out? They don't get to play on Gather Round.
Gather Round's an interesting one to throw in because that makes it real, doesn't it, for that particular round. Look, 2027 is again, the best guess that anyone from outside the system's got. Now, this will all be played out. I'd hope on Wednesday that Andrew Dillon, the new CEO, will announce a date. I think they should. I mean, it's not as if now that the government's finally given the money officially on Saturday that, we've got to think it through. They've been thinking through this for years already. So I would like to get some detail on Wednesday. And 2027 is a year that the clubs themselves are happy to put up, when you talk to them off the record, that could be a time frame. And that might be short in some people's eyes, but again, it's not as if it's a fresh project as of today. It's been built up for some time.
And a new jumper and the name, Tassie Devils.
Well, yeah. Do you like the Devils line?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll have to be the Devils.
It makes as much sense to me as any.
And the jumper.
Hey, and the list composition is going to be the massive fight that the clubs will have because they want to keep their players, but they will have to give up certainly players on their list, the way I read it, and also access to draft
What's
pick
the
players.
What's the reaction been like down there? It doesn't appear like, you know, when a team wins a Super Bowl and the city just goes completely
ballistic. We had two callers on Saturday, didn't we?
During your quiz.
One from Launceston, one from Hobart.
Neither kid.
No, he didn't give a stuff. Actually, the Lonnie bloke wasn't happy because it was up in Hobart. Oh, that's up in Hobart.
Yeah. And Launceston, it did get lost, but it's still a significant amount of money in this climate at the moment. That stadium got a $65 million grant the day before the $240 million came in for the new one. So
what's the split there? 11 home games. How many Lonnie get?
Bill, again, I'll wait for the AFL to get through the clubs.
You're in there. You walk down the corridors and go Gilzer. Well done.
Well, probably 8-3 would be a starting point. What do we call him? Gilzer.
Gilzer. No, you don't talk to Gilzer anymore. He's not there. So it's all.
We still need a October too. Well, we'll need the.
And a GM of footy, we'll have a break, have a think about it. We'll come back, Damo.
Are you teasing that, Bill?
You've got 3.5 minutes while we go to our sponsors?
Yeah, about 5:15, but yes.
All right. Jeez, we've got a lot of putty ads.
We do.
We should get paid more.
More with Damien Barrett next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
There is no need for the bump. I'll quote him, Jim. Mm-hmm. From my perspective.
Oh, my goodness.
Damien Barrett has stuck around his pros and cons from round 8.
Where are we starting, Purple?
Just to answer Bill's question from just before the break.
General manager of football,
I still feel Brendan Gale has got a role to play either in that role or the establishment of the Tasmanian team. I think it's pretty much his call. And given what's happening with the club he's been at for close to 15 years, Richmond Footy Club right now, we may as well start there because they're part of the negatives that come out of round 7. It's been an ordinary season for them. They started this way, a draw against Carlton and then a win against Adelaide. So after two rounds, they were unbeaten. And then obviously
6 points?
Yeah, 6 points. And that's all they've got to this point in time. And they're okay even the week after against Collingwood, only lost by 2 goals and a bit in round 4. They might still argue they should have beaten Western Bulldogs, but what has happened since has just put them out of the running, Bill. And they are one of the, I think, 3 clubs right now that have got major, major problems. The other two, and we'll touch on them in a moment, West Coast and North Melbourne. But when it comes from a Richmond perspective, where they played an elimination final last year, nearly won, should have won in their eyes with the Tom Lynch kick. He's been a key reason, Jim, that his absence has been a large
problem. Him and Toby.
And Toby Nankervis, and then down back, you've had no access at all to Robbie Tarrant and Josh Gibkiss. I don't know what effect they would both have, Gibkiss starting out, Tarrant toward the end. But having said that, their structure down back was just totally non-existent. So it's been a major
long
problem.
Way back from here.
It is.
Long
it is. Just on those two other clubs, look, the raw maths on this, West Coast has now won 3 of its past 33. That goes back to very late 2021. Just to give context of the team itself, not what happened off field, but Fitzroy won 3 of their last 39 games of footy. So they're into that zone of poor performance, and that is historically worst ever when it's all said and done.
That's unthinkable when you know that footy club.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a powerhouse, the West Coast Eagles.
Yep.
So what was the crowd like?
It's astounding.
Are they still coming along?
Yeah, they are. 50, yeah, they're getting high 40s, and it's quite extraordinary.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. Given they are basically unwatchable from what they were and what they want to be, and we'll touch on what happened to them in that game with Charlie Curnow's involvement soon. But North Melbourne, Jim, I know you got a big soft spot. Round five wasn't good in Adelaide for Gather Round against Brisbane, but what happened on the weekend was arguably worse against Melbourne.
The next game against the Gold Coast was worse. I didn't see any of the game against Melbourne. I wasn't surprised that the scoreline was unflattering. I remember saying to Bernie Vince after we finished the game, Hawthorn Western Bulldogs game. Yes. I said Melbourne do everything well that North Melbourne can't defend.
Yeah,
well, so
quarter time
and 3 minutes in, they were three goals to nothing.
It had danger written all over it. Look, it's going to take a long time. Clarko's been very honest about that. There's a lot there that needs repairing, and it's going to take time.
It will. Bill, the club that benefits most out of the problems at West Coast and North Melbourne is Essendon. Gets them both. Twice.
And, mate, they're a better side this year.
They're a better
side. And that's Brad Scott.
There wasn't
no doubt.
Too much to dislike with what they did against Geelong yesterday. But, look, you basically look at Essendon playing those North Melbourne and West Coast twice as four guaranteed wins. And if 13 gets you into the finals, well, it breaks the back of that task, doesn't it? So, fixture integrity, an issue. We'll jump on to some positives. And again, tell me where you want to start. But I think the names of Jason Horne-Francis and Toby Green are as good a place as any. We'll get to Darcy Moore. But Toby Green's four goals for GWS against the Sydney Swans and the way he controlled that particular last quarter, having already played well to that point to win the Brett Kirk medal, Bill. And Brett was really happy to give it to him.
No, he wasn't.
Brett was really happy.
Couldn't give a stuff about him. There's something going on there. Brett just go to him and took off as quick as he
no
could.
No communication, was
it? Toby Green got the 10 coaches votes and Jason Horne-Francis got the 10 coaches votes.
Obviously that was a Friday night game against St Kilda. So, look, best on ground in that game, and I thought he was, and I thought Travis Boak was outstanding too, but I thought Jason Horne-Francis was really good. If you go back to round one, when they set their season up with a big win against Brisbane Lions, I thought he was best on ground then. And if you then go to the last quarters of other wins they've had, Western Bulldogs 1 week, and prior to that, the Sydney Swans, he's had a really good start to his career as a Port Adelaide player. The big boys, Bill, we can't go any further in the positives without getting to them. And this is your space because Tommy Hawkins then joined
me and Ablett. Well, Carlton won by 108 points. Kerno 9, Mackay 2. There's 11 with the big boys. Huge win.
Well, that's about an Ablett Brownless split.
Yes.
So this is your space.
And then actually, that was a split in the Brownless and the grand final of 89, wasn't
it? That was 89. Thank you, Damien. Kicked 11
when you fell over the goal square and missed the...
Geelong 1, 2. Hawk 8. Can you believe that's the most he's ever kicked?
Yeah.
He's kicked 750.
In game 334.
Yeah, and Jazza kicked 3. So there's 11 goals. So the big boys, they're kicking goals, and guess what? Their sides win easy.
Yeah, so they're both back on track, both Kerno and Cameron, aren't they? With 30 goals to their name after the seven completed games. You do the maths on that, they'll get, if they stay fit and they play finals, and they might even get there, in the home and away season, given there's an extra game.
100
goals, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Hey, so what about Collingwood?
Yep.
They've won 9 games under Craig McRae by less than a goal. So 9 wins from these 32 games have been...
less than a goal.
How good's that?
And 10 of 13, their last 13, have come from behind at three-quarter time. I don't know where to start yesterday. Darcy Moore is an incredible athlete. He's an incredible captain. And inside 7 matches, he's put himself into the conversation of competition best captain. And that takes some doing. We saw what he spoke about post-match. Yes. We saw what he did at halftime, which you've already played today, Bill. But just standing up in those last moments and to be prepared to move up the ground to block it. The 5-day break, the no goals at quarter time, Pendlebury not being available, Kruger going down in the first quarter, 23 points down early in the last quarter. Ash Johnson smarts to just tap the ball through for a behind.
Free kicks they didn't
get and should have got. The Nick Dacos, who has played better games than that.
So how did Keys go? I didn't see this game. Did he go to him and rough him up a bit?
First half he went to him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, they did a good job on him. He didn't get coaches' votes, Bill, which is interesting. His brother did, I believe, but he didn't. But he still paddled the ball forward at key times. Yeah. Later, Key smother at one stage too. So I love what he did. And Collingwood don't usually you see Jack Crisp involved in late in pieces too, and he was again involved. They've had a tough run. They've had a really tough run. I'll just rattle them through. Geelong, Port Adelaide, Richmond, Brisbane, St Kilda, Essendon and Adelaide. And the only game they've lost was against Brisbane Lions. Mm. So going absolutely beautifully.
Oh, beautifully.
Yeah. Well done. No. Well done, Craig McRae.
Yep.
You got the buses?
Got the buses.
Oh.
nearly fucking. Oh,
well, may not get across in Nullarbor because we sent one there last week to West Coast, and we've got to send the other one across the Fremantle. We need that second one. Then I don't like doing this in the studio that you're in, but we took it away from Arden Street last year.
Jim, I think it's going
back. Just to see what's going on.
Come on, Jim.
Just to get it through a couple of weeks, Jim. It needs some support.
Oh, come on, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, you used to be president.
You're the president there. Yeah. You still got the phone call.
I'm not the big red
phone goes off in your bedroom and it's Clarko.
You helped Clarko get the gig. You helped North set that up.
Actually, I'm a big supporter of the club and him, but it's got nothing to do with me. So get your stupid frown off. Look at him. He gives it the, come on, Jim.
Your fault.
His stupid furrow.
You might have to go back, Jim.
No.
Help
ride the white horse in there.
I am very confident they'll get it right, but it's going to take time.
It's going to take a lot of time.
So a bit of patience. Yeah.
But the bus will be there to see what they do.
There's no parking there as it is.
No, it's actually very hard.
They're parking. You're going to take four parks up with a bus.
We'll have to go to the Lost Dogs home around the corner to park.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well done, Damo. Like that.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Of course, Damo joined us thanks to Builders Academy Legends, making legends at Builders Academy, buildersacademy.com.au. Up next, we're heading to the phones. Topics Brayshaw or Brownless, we've got to figure it out. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm always in a hurry.
To do what?
To get wherever I've got to go.
Mark Howard to join us all the way from India after five. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill.
Oh, here we go. Oh, nice bit of music in the background. Thank you. This passed my desk, Jimmy boy, and I like this. A wild peacock has bitten a man in the Bronx on Wednesday, but the man lived to tell the story.
He was standing outside chilling, you know, smoking and whatever.
Right.
And I thought I was bugging. I said, yo, they got a peacock. You high. Right now, a peacock. And that's when we all, you know, started filming it. Then it just started running up the hill towards traffic. So, you know, we had to try to keep the bird safe. We chased him all the way in. I trapped him inside the gate. He got tied in the gate. And then he tried to pet me and said, grab my pants and shit. I'm like, then the flew in the tree. I ain't know they fly.
And fly. It bit him, mate. Bit him in the Bronx.
Yes.
He thought he was buggered. Jim. Well, guess what? Emergency medical services were called to the incident, Jim.
Yes.
But he said, no, I don't want to go to hospital. I'm okay, thank you. But he got bitten by a wild peacock, Jim.
You know what I always think about Americans? They practice for the day a news crew speaks to them.
They're one and only time.
Because when they do, they're like that bloke.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually hilarious.
I was sitting on my veranda, just minding my own business.
Had to protect the bird.
You wouldn't believe what walked
off towards the traffic. Had to protect the bird.
Anyway, I got bitten by a wild peacock, so I put my head together,
Jim. Where did he get bitten?
Bit him on the... I bit him somewhere.
Not on the swan.
No, right. Didn't get him on the Henry. All that's right. Cock to me. No, it wasn't there, Rabs. It just got bitten somewhere. Right, it doesn't actually say.
Leg.
Leg. Right. Bitten on the leg, righto. Jim. Get it right. So.
Hands.
133353.
Right.
What has bitten you? Unusual.
No.
Oh, no. You know what's bitten.
We can't go there.
Jim. It's Monday, the 1st of May. You know what has bitten me? Unusual, Jim.
What?
Karma.
Why?
It just does occasionally.
Oh, no, you haven't got an example of it.
No, I can't think.
What about the prize? I'm not giving away, please.
$200 to the lobster cave.
Oh, Bill Ferg. Bill Ferginator. Yes. The Ferg burger.
Spoil mum with $200 lobster cave hot and cold seafood platter for just $99 this Mother's Day. Lobstercave.com.au. Wow.
I went to a LA Cup for Bill Ferg years ago.
LA Cart.
Bill Ferg, he's a good man, Ferg.
He's a very good man.
Yes.
And the prizes can't ever be spoken about.
Were they videos?
In 133.
Speeder. Jim. Sam took us.
Speeder.
Beater, the old Beater. I was there with you.
What's bitten you? Unusual.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Not a particularly sophisticated show.
Right now we're asking, what bit you unusual? Onions got bitten by a penguin once.
Did he?
Yep.
How?
I don't know.
Penguins don't bite. Well, this bloke in America got bitten by a wild peacock, and he thought he was buggered, but he did. Okay.
If it's not an American word either, buggered. No. It's more Australian.
Have you seen a peacock when they do the food? Very nice. Very nice birds. And they can fly. So we've asked the Rush Hour family, and away they are. We go to Jill. Hello, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
What's a bit, show, guys? Oh, thank you. What's a bit new, unusual?
About 10 years ago, I had two guinea pigs called Sophie and Stuart, and Stuart bit me that hard one day on the end of my finger. I actually had to have a couple of stitches put in it.
Oh, wow. Angry guinea pig.
Yeah.
No, any reason for it?
Oh, no, he was just really, he was just like that. If you touched him, he just used to nip all the time. But anyway, he, was pretty painful.
Bloody knife. Stitches. Can they breed? Guinea pigs. I know they say you breed like rabbits, but guinea pigs, Jim, wow.
Yeah.
That's been your experience?
They're just at it all the time.
Right, I see. Stay there, Jill. Are we going to seafood with Maddie? Yes, hello, Maddie.
Hey, good to talk to you boys. Yeah, just a swarm of bees up in the Mandanongs. I'm in a big truck and I wind down the window, just fresh air, and I thought they were going to pass, and they've managed to circle and come in their cabin. So I've pulled over, thought I got them out, went to sit down. Nah, they've put their poison in me bum and on me back, and all the way back to the city I'm stopping and starting. People thought I was nuts.
Ooh. Bit you on the nuts.
No, on the nuts and on the bum and wherever they could.
Righto, Maddie, like that. Hang around. Damo cabin. Down in Frankston South. Hello, Damo.
G'day there, Ben, Jing, Bing, Bill.
Hey, Damo. Hello. Good, Damo. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Good.
I would have been about 10. I was at the cricket and I just got my new little T-shirt and I went back home to show my next-door neighbour. Yeah. He was pretty excited. We started playing hide and seek in the backyard, and I jumped in the bin, and I jumped out, and the German Shepherd came up and bit my lip.
Ooh.
I had 11 stitches and plastic surgery on my lip, and my mates still call me Bum Lip, Bill.
Bun Lip.
Bum Lip.
Well, it looks like a bum.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, Jim's got to
understand where it comes from.
Bun Lip.
Thank you, Damo. Stay right where you are. Dave Seaford. Yeah, hello, Dave.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good, Dave.
That's hello.
Yeah.
What happened, Dave?
I was in Canada. I was just roaming through the village of Whistler, and I thought I saw a big fluffy dog, but it turned out to be a black bear. So I followed it up a tree, and it reached down and bit me on the hand.
Ooh. Why'd you follow it up a tree, Dave?
Oh, I had a few too many to drink and thought... It was nice and cute and wanted to pet it.
Wow. And did you get stitches or what?
I went to the hospital, but they said, no, it's fine. But, that's about it.
I'm not following a bear up a tree.
Black bear, Jim.
No, I'm not doing that.
No.
Hey, Chris is in Hastings Fat.
Hello, Christopher.
Yes, hello. How you going, boys?
Yeah, good, mate. What is a bit new, unusual?
My brother.
Ow.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, me and my brother went to our cousin's wedding and that, and had a few too many drinks and that, and got in a bit of an argument on the way home, and he latched onto my head like a pit bull and wouldn't let go.
So where did he bite you on the head? Where?
Oh, right on the, like, above the forehead, like on top of the head.
Oh,
like, latched on and just tried to rip like some of my head off.
Scalp you?
Yeah, scalp me. Tried to scalp me.
Tried
one.
To scalp him?
Brothers?
Bill, I used to play table tennis with my younger brother, Robert, and if you won, the loser had to stand there while you gave him a camel bite and he couldn't get out of the way.
What's a camel
like
bite?
A full, you know, you cup your hand
on the
vacant leg and you couldn't move. You just had to cop it. That's why brothers are brilliant.
Well, they hate each other and then, they love each other.
Well, then if they're in trouble.
That's right.
First one that comes to the rescue.
Exactly.
So who'd you like?
Have we got any others there? No.
Right.
Well, some good one. Black bear's interesting, Jim. One. But I like the swarm of bees. Got in the cabin and bit him on the bum and the nuts and everything. So poor old Maddie, you have won.
$200 to the lobster cave, mate.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for that, boys. Thanks, Fiddle Amp.
Like that.
Actually, not too far from seafood. At 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, and you can go and have some seafood. At the lobster cave.
And old Bum Lip down at Frankston. We're going down there again. Wow. Bum Lip, get something. What have we got for him, Rabbits?
Bum Lip.
We'll send him a slab of Carlton Draft plus a limited edition Rush Hour schooner glass.
Great work, Bill. Great work, Jing.
What about that for a price?
I reckon you'd like some Carlton Draft
made from beer, by the way.
Oh, I love Carlton Draft. It's the best. Thank you, boys.
Hello, Damo.
Damo and Matt.
Enjoy that.
That was good, Bill.
Yeah, nice, Bill.
Hmm.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You know how bad that was, then.
Mm-hmm. I don't even like it.
Snow Patrol and Chasing Cars. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill. And we played that song because they're a Scottish band in honour of Jock Zonfrillo, who has sadly passed away, JB.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show. And I read the statement from his family with completely shattered hearts and without knowing how we can possibly move through life without him. We are devastated to share that Jock passed away yesterday. We implore you to please let us grieve privately as we find a way to navigate through this and find space on the other side to celebrate our irreplaceable husband, father, brother, son, and friend.
Yeah, good bloke. We had him on the show last year.
Yeah, June last year.
Book launch.
Lovely man.
Good fun.
Yep.
And him and his show was flying, of course. MasterChef was supposed to start tonight, but it's been cancelled for the week.
Vale Jock is on Frillo.
Not far away from chatting to Howie, if you don't mind, from India, Lucknow, ahead of a big IPL clash that he's going to commentate. We've got a Zoom link up with him. Looking forward to that.
He'd be very excited, Jimmy boy. Oh, but yeah. Time now for Billy's 5 at 5:09.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Bizarre. It's Billy's unique look at the other side of footy.
Very good today, Jim.
Well, you haven't done it yet.
No, it is. Yes. Oh, big book too, Jimmy boy. Have a look at that. Big book. What's that noise?
Cheering. You're 5:05.
Ange Postecoglou.
What's at number 5, Fat?
Thank you, Ange. Ange Postecoglou,
yes.
Celtic have secured a finals place in the Scottish Cup, okay, mm-hmm. Jimmy boy. And Celtic fans are not looking forward to the King Charles hoo-ha, which is ramping up this week. So they've come out with this chant.
Oh.
And have a listen to the chant. I'll give you a little heads up. It's you can shove your coronation up your... What do you reckon, King Charlie? You'd like that, Jim?
Well, they were given the opportunity how long ago? To become their own joint with their own currency.
A couple of years, I think, yeah.
And so when push comes to shove, they said no.
Mm.
And yet they don't like each other.
Well, they don't. Mm. But that's good. I like that. Well done, supporters. And Ange, is he flying?
Flying.
Unbelievable. They didn't want him there. Did not want him there when he started.
We didn't apparently want him either.
No, we did.
Talk about him going to the Premier League.
Yeah. Wow.
With Tottenham.
Ooh. Mm. The Hot Spurs.
That's it.
Right. How about number 4, Bins?
Toby Green, magnificent goal to win the game.
Yes.
You blokes, sad day arvo blokes on Triple M,
yes.
We're actually calling the Hawks and Dogs game.
Yes.
But then somehow you've started calling a more exciting game up there in Sydney.
What's going on there, please, in Sydney?
Yeah, Swans by 5 over the Giants. Boundary throw-in, left forward pocket region for the Giants.
Right. Give all the details. 55 seconds left.
Toby Green.
Toby Green for a snap.
Oh, yeah. He's going off.
Tobe has kicked the goal and GWS in front with 42 seconds to go.
What
in
the hell?
That game.
What a finish.
In the meantime, we've got a behind here.
Jim, what are you doing?
That's what happens in Triple M football.
Right.
We keep you entertained and we keep you informed.
What's Byrne doing?
Yeah.
He's going over the top of the call again.
Again.
I don't know what he's up
to. What the hell?
What he's up to.
Hear that?
Yeah.
Jim's, what the hell? Nearly as bad as, oh no.
What's at number 3, Cocco?
Joey Montagna, right? Soft, never done a hard day's work in his life,
this
Joey.
Is Bill,
yes.
Speaking, yeah.
And don't worry, he has never, ever been camping.
Triple M Titanium Caravans scoreboard. Titanium Caravans, Joey, have built to tackle Australia's toughest conditions. You told me that. Visit titaniumcaravans.com.au.
Yes, need to get one, Baz. Love to take the kids away camping one day. Just need someone to come with me who knows what they're doing.
I don't have to drive.
What kind of camping? Are you a glamper?
I'm a 5-star hotel camper. No, I like the idea of it, Jack. I like the idea of camping. I just don't trust myself to either tow a caravan, to know what to do if things go wrong, or...
Could you back one in? Could you back the caravan in?
I don't know. I'd be nervous.
That's a no.
Turn the wheel on the opposite side.
That's a zero.
That's a no.
Listen to where Bill's mind went straight away.
Did you back one in?
No. Yeah, that's different to what you were trying to
do. You've got to go the other way with the wheel when you're backing a trailer or a caravan.
Trailer.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, Jim. He couldn't light a fire. He couldn't pitch a tent. Come on, Joey. 2.
Give us number 2, Smack.
Here we go. Now, this was interesting. The Friday huddle, which we've got concerns with, Jimmy Boy,
yes,
is famous for the Nasi Goreng. And you can attest to this because you're not happy with the new Nasi Goreng.
I want to hear what. Is it the Chieftain?
Has been eating for decades. They're not quite happy with the new Nasi Goreng they're getting.
A little bit of drama in the Friday huddle box tonight. The Chief's unhappy with the Nasi tonight. And we know what happens when he's got a Nasi in his hand. He's not happy, the Chief.
It is an issue.
You go there, Jake.
And you're in the chair where, it is where an issue. The person received it too, Dust.
No, Nate's with me, though, and there could be a prawn on your head if you keep this up.
So they weren't happy with that.
Well,
but
Bill, I had some.
I know.
And I'm with him. I'm with the Chief.
Mm.
Apparently there's new chefs.
Yes.
New staff in there.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near as good.
Well, that's disappointing to hear.
It is.
But that all took us back to the old Rice Gate.
You shut up and listen instead
don't
of talking
speak, don't
shit
to me like that.
Well, then I won't talk to you.
Nope. Get out of the box.
Will do.
I will not work with someone like that. Get out of the box right now. Go on, nick off. Just throwing a whole tray of food on me.
A whole tray.
Nick off. I'm not working with those.
Shut up.
Get out.
A couple of crumbs. Come on, Chief. And Steve
our boss at the time was in the back of the box when it happened.
Hey, Leroy.
Just, no, Ben Amalfio. Just copped the back of the scone.
Did he?
Leroy. With some fried rice.
Right, that it's quarters, of course.
Yes.
G'day to quarters.
Q.
Still going well. Q, we like Q.
Yep.
And we're at...
What do you got at number one, Bill?
So, concerns for the Friday huddle, of course, with the, and the elephant in the room and things like that. But, Jim, the Sunday rub also.
Oh.
So this is number one. We've got A, B, C, D, and E. This all happened on Sunday, if you don't mind. A, please.
Yes,
for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Triple M Rock footy. You bloke stitching me up.
So Brandy wasn't there.
There, that's right. Sorry, I was supposed to set this up. Yeah. So Jay-Z had to assume control, Jim.
Right.
And he stuffed it up there.
He did.
No, no. But Joey was supposed to assume control, and Jay said, give it to me, I want it.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Well, that's what happened. But then Brownie finally did make it, okay, and he forgot he was actually hosting.
Brownie.
Welcome back to the Triple M Sunday Rub. Sorry, I thought you'd been hosting, Joey.
Oh, jeez.
What are we doing? What are you doing on a Sunday, Rabbit?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. Listening back to that's horrible.
This is your show. Yeah.
This is 1C. Jay-Z asked Chris Fagan a question. Can you believe this? Nearly as bad as Bernie's.
No.
It goes for 36 seconds, Jim.
I tell you what, speaking of coaches and doing things, Ross Lyon said in the press conference the other night that he watched Dave Chappelle, the comedian, on Friday night. Geez, hasn't Big Roscoe relaxed just watching comedy videos the night before a big game? Hey, congratulations on the win last night, Fags. I'm interested in the midfield balance. I see Lachie Neal had 35 touches and 24 contested possessions, maybe three Brownlow votes there yesterday, but his numbers haven't been as high. He hasn't been as prolific throughout the course of the season. Is that by design that you really trying to spread that midfield load and not be so reliant on the champion Brownlow medal winner in the guts?
Wow. What's the start bit? That's what I don't know. Where was he going with Ross the Boss?
Yeah. He asked two 36-second questions.
Oh, Jay-Z.
Yeah. The final one was that long.
You well, Bernie's infected everyone.
Yes. You've got to have a chat to Jay-Z when he comes in, Jim.
Come on, Jay-Z.
Wednesday.
You must be better.
Yep. Stevie J, he thought he'd get into the act by saying something stupid.
Bob Jane, team arts, Robbo.
Yeah, the reason why Close is in the middle because Dangerfield's down here, just laying back, cross-legged, waiting for a cognac almost. Unbelievable.
I don't know if Danger'd be into the cognacs, would he? Harry Taylor used
Harry
to love
Taylor
that.
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you reckon Danger drinks?
Powerade.
I reckon he drinks lemon Ruskies or something.
Powerade.
Powerade's better. Lemon Ruskies. Come on, Stevie J. Then one more, Jim. Oh, no, it still goes on.
Can't have any more.
So this is in the final quarter, and Brownie asked Joey and Stevie J for a tip in the big game, but I think they were watching something else.
Richmond taking on the Gold Coast Suns at Marvel. In fact, we're just underway as we speak, Brownie, and no score to either side.
Who are we tipping there, boys? Oh, yeah, no worries.
We're watching a race.
What, Rabbits?
Rabbits, that's your mob.
This is your show.
Yep. No, it is.
Well, where are you at?
I don't know. That's actually horrible to listen back to.
Maybe you take it to them, you sit down, and you play that back.
Plastic chairs in a circle?
Yes.
Craig Bellamy style?
I don't think I'm imposing enough to be able to pull off that feat.
Yes, you can.
Them in a circle,
yes.
Eyeball them, and say, well, I'm not tolerating that again.
Lucky, right. We're flying, Jim, on the Saturday rub.
Oh, yeah. Of course we are. Your ACRA Award nominations.
Yeah, we're flying.
But we're going to put that in to the ACRA Award.
Submit it.
Yeah. I reckon.
Well, win. Come on, Rabs. You're better than that.
You must be better than that, Rabbits. You're representing our show wherever you go.
I'll try. That's all I've got for you.
You must get better.
Yeah, you just must get better.
All right, Oski.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Jimmy boy, I went to a bed with an Irish girl once.
You went to a bed?
No, I went to bed with an Irish girl once,
yes,
Jimmy.
Yes.
Right now we're joined by the captain of the Friday Huddle and a man living his dream, commentating on the Indian Premier League. It's Mark Howard.
He dominates Triple M footy.
Forced to McGinnis, McCrea running on the goal! Seven on the trot!
Triple M cricket.
Bowling! Lyon with a massive blow!
And now he's taken his talents to the IPL.
Tries to get funky, first ball. Imagine walking out and playing a shot like that.
Please welcome Mark Howard.
Oh, I got him on Zoom from Lucknow. Welcome, Howie.
Geez, I've never had an opener before.
What are you doing down there near Bairnsdale, East Gippsland way there, Lucknow?
Yeah, sort of. That or just south of the Himalayas, Bill. You can choose which of the one I'm in. But, yeah, no, in northern India, there's a game on tonight here, and that did say live in my dream, and it's spot on. This is the most extraordinary cricket experience I've ever been involved in. So absolutely privileged and loving it.
So you've got, tell us about the games you've already called.
So I did the first game in Ahmedabad, which, Jim, is a stadium that seats 130,000 people, biggest cricket stadium in the world. It was probably 95,000 there. But the one that really got me two nights ago in Kolkata, Eden Gardens, Jim and Bill, as you know, where AB held up the World Cup in 1987, I think there was 65,000 there, and they, like, you hear about the passion for cricket in India, but till you see it, it's hard to believe. So tonight, it's Maxi and Virat Kohli up against the big Stoin. So, and the level of talent, there's cricketers you haven't heard of, and they come out. Like, India should never lose another T20 international on the ground here.
Tell us about even the – some, I assume, can't get in. There'd be some poor old spectators that can't come in. And just walking to the ground and things like that. Tell us about that, Howie.
Well, I've tried to ask how much it is to get in, Bill. Yeah. And I think corporate seat is about $1,000 US. But then in the bleachers, it's a lot less than that. But the hotel yesterday, when I arrived here, 10 minutes later Maxi's team, Royal Challengers Bangalore, arrived, and I got out of the cab, and there's 2,500 people outside the hotel, and I thought, oh, geez, a nice reception for a bloke for Bob on air. And then you see them roll in. It's a level of superstardom I haven't seen. So it's the first time, Bill, I've stayed in a hotel where the teams are here, and some of the cricketers from RCB are on my level, and literally outside my door, there is a bloke sitting there from the army with a submachine gun just to keep an eye on things. So it's a whole nother. I was having breakfast this morning and having a chat with Maxi, and Kohli walked into breakfast, and it's like an entourage of just dudes hanging around him. It's incredible.
Well, we were at Live last weekend or weekend before. Can't remember when the bloody hell it was. Anyway, so I was at Bluey's joint afterwards, Howie, and he said, what do you want to watch? I said, I don't know, what's on? And as we flicked onto the IPL, Virat Kohli was ready to face the first ball from Trent Bolt. And I said to Bluey, hey, this is ridiculous. And the crowd were going bananas. LBW, first ball. So gone, the great man. Yep. And I said to him, exactly to your point, some of that 70,000-strong crowd would have shelled out every rupee they own for the only chance they'll ever get to watch Virat Kohli, and he was gone after one ball.
Yeah, and I think that's – when you see it, you understand the pressure these guys are under. So there's two massive ticket items.
Yep.
It's to see an RCB game, which I'm fortunate enough to see tonight with Kohli, and the other one, probably the biggest ticket item, is to see – the Chennai Super Kings, where Mike Hussey's working, because that's where Dhoni plays. Yep. And he is, like, we think Kohli, but Dhoni's next level again.
No.
Mate, he is. He's 41, so he's on his sort of final tour.
Yep.
And where he was playing away the other night, and there was still more fans of his team. They're a yellow team. And like when you're watching it in the hotel, every single ad that comes on, it doesn't matter if it's yogurt or cars or electricity, it's fronted by an Indian cricketer. It's the coin they're making, Bill.
And what about the calling the commentator situation and who are you calling with?
Well, it's fascinating because you don't get your roster till you know where you're going, but they don't tell you who you're commentating with. So I only found out this morning who I'm commentating with tonight. Yep. So I'm with Danny Morrison tonight, Ian Bishop, who's a superstar, as you know, Jim. Yeah. But there's fellas you haven't met. So I called a game the other night with Murali Kartik and Sanjay Mandrake, and you haven't met them before, and you literally walk into the commentary box and are introducing yourself, and they're looking at you going, gee, I haven't seen this bloke playing for Australia. So you've got to build a rapport very, very quickly, and she's hot in the comm box too, Bill. Ooh. She's a hot, steamy affair. When the air conditioner cuts out, it's very warm.
And also, Howie, I've noticed the bits I've seen, you're wearing the Indian traditional dress, and that looks hot.
Yes. Yeah, you've got this sort of nice little jacket. So we did a day game in Kolkata the other day. When the game started, it was 41 degrees. So you're going out in the middle, and you're sweating your ring off, let's be completely honest. What there was, Jim, there was 45 minutes of rain, and I thought, well, and it was pouring down. I thought, oh, we could get cancelled here. They have covers that cover the entire ground. There's like 100 blokes run the mat on the ground. So if anyone from the Sydney Cricket Ground is listening to this, that's what you need.
Hey, are they allowed to have a drink in the outer or not?
So the first game I did is a dry state,
right,
Bill?
Yep.
So I wouldn't advise you to go Gujarat.
Where's that? What's that joint?
Gujarat.
No, right. Tick. Dominga across next to
that. Fine for me. That was fine for me. But yeah, nowhere else you can have a beer. It's just a massive party. It was described to me before I came that every match is like an AFL grand final. I said, oh, no, it can't be right.
Couldn't be. Yeah.
It is. It is like a granny every single
match. So the drums and all that go on?
The drums, the flags, I was watching the other day, I did a Mumbai Indians game, so Rohit Sharma, he's a big deal. Yep. He walked out on the ground and just started doing a couple of stretches. It was like Charlie Kurnow had just kicked his 10th at the MCG, just to see old mate do a couple of hamstring stretches.
Jeez, they're mad.
Hey, we need to take a break, Howie. We need to talk Friday Huddle, because as the intro said before, lead is gone.
And wheels falling off.
I think there might be a couple trying to jump in.
Elephant in the room.
Well, let's get there.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Surely there's someone more.
No.
Someone more. Can you have a chat to the Whitney?
Mark Howie Howard joins us from Lucknow, India, by the way. Howie Games is absolutely flying. Greg Norman, three-part episodes.
Don't talk about
that. And coming up this Thursday, one of the biggest members of the Australian sports media fraternity.
Really?
Really?
Who's that, Howie?
Yeah.
No, we've got the big Hutchie on this week.
Oh my goodness.
Hutch.
The big Hutch. And he's dominating. Good luck to you. I can't believe I got a second segment. I got an opener and now I get a second segment.
Yeah, second segment. We need to talk about the Howie game. So the supercar driver, what sort of stuff did he roll out?
The big Bhagwana. Well, just about the size of his organisation, how many people are working for him. But then we went back to the old days when he used to sneak out onto the pitch at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And I helped Hutchie move. I helped Hutchie move when he lived with Chris Jones, who's now in charge of your cricket at the gym. We lived together for 3 years, and I relayed this story to him. So I was helping them move because I was the only bloke that had a ute. And I went in there and I did the final clean out with him, and I thought I just better check there's nothing to be taken out, oven trays, etc. I opened the oven.
Oh, no.
They'd been in there 3.5 years. In the oven was instructions in a plastic cover.
Yeah.
So they hadn't used the oven once in 3.5 years.
No. Spot on. That's exactly Hutch. Mm. Exactly Hutch. Hey, also, I want to talk about Greg Norman because we needed him on the rush hour.
You guaranteed you could get him.
I did. For the Live Golf that was coming up there a couple of weeks ago. So we finally got through to, I think, Sal at TLA, and she said, oh, no, we gave him to Howie. Like, fair dinkum, mate.
Well, no, that's not quite the way it happened, Bill. I heard you guys had been trying for 6 months to get him on. I just flicked him a text, and he said, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow.
Bill guaranteed us, Howie, that we were going to have an audience with the Shark, And he's never heard of Bill, never heard of the show, had no interest in anything to do with
it. The old thong wearer from Bowen Heads, fair dinkum, mate, goes there. But we were just asking him about his one wood.
No, Bill. See, that's why he wouldn't have come on your show, because he likes more intellectual discussion. Hey, Jim, you went to live, though. Like, I'm a massive fan. Like, he's taken a lot of heavy hits, and they rolled that out in Adelaide. That was an extraordinary event.
No, it was. I just played a golf day down at Peninsula Kingswood, and everyone was talking about it, and all the boys who were rolling through from Brickworks said, don't worry, next year I've already got myself ready to go. I've got a team ready. We've got our plan together as to how we're going to get tickets. It was nuts. The only thing they got to do is stop the full cans of beer being thrown.
Oh,
so move that into the plastic cups. But everything else, Howie, it was, you talk about rock and roll, that's what it was. Mm. It was going off like a frog in the sock. And I loved every second of it. Well, you know, and as do you, Fat.
Yeah.
We don't get to go to sporting events as a spectator very often in our professional
and
lives.
And we don't see them go berserk like that.
Exactly.
And the music and the carry on and throwing beers and all that. No. You're not allowed to do that stuff anymore.
Ever.
No.
So I know, I loved it. Now, tell me more about how long you're there for, because the Friday huddle, you've been running it superbly.
Yes.
And now you're heading off to do some fantastic work in India. So I'm just a little worried about one of Triple M's and the electronic media's great toe cutters in Nath Brown.
Yeah.
Because he will see your absence as an opportunity, Howie, for him to slide in and take your position.
Well, it's a really good point. So I'm missing two rounds of footy, so I'm here for 10 games or 2.5 weeks. And there was a power struggle last week. So Tass was listed to host because he's obviously smooth and intelligent. And Nath rang the boss of Triple M Football on Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and said, listen, I'm hosting Sunday. I think I should be hosting the Friday huddle. But fortunately, he was told his level of hosting on Sunday is not at the level required for Friday.
He rang you.
You see Nath in action. Like, the man struggles to speak English, so he can't be hosting the big Friday night.
Don't worry, if ever the Chompers has any issues
Tony
on the
Jones.
Sunday.
Oh, you can see him now.
He's straight on the phone to old Sneezeby, or whatever his name is, the head of Nine, saying, oh, I'm ready.
No, well, you can see when he gets a bit fired up, Chompers, and he goes, that's it, I'm off. Nath jumps into his chair as he's walking off the bloody set. Hey, everything all right there Friday night? How's our good old friend the Chief? Is he okay?
He's busy, Bill.
You can say that. How many Ks away are you?
12,500, and it's not far enough for me to go into it right now.
He'll snap you in half, Howie.
He will, Howie.
Hey, awesome what you're doing, mate. So when have we got Hutchie coming up? Did you say
that'll drop Thursday on the Listener app. Just look for the Howie Games.
I tell you what.
And his is a fascinating story.
Oh, great story. And on and off the field everywhere, mate.
Absolutely.
He's a good story. But you just sound so excited when you're talking about the cricket, Howie. I love this. So, mate, you looking forward to tonight's game?
Yeah, huge. There's a bit of rain around, so hopefully that nicks off. But the chance to call Virat Kohli, in a game of cricket in India, I think will be all time. I'm working with two chaps I haven't met before, so that'll be fun. I can't wait, Bill. And I've been eating everything on the street. I'm fit and healthy at this stage, so I'll just push on, get on another plane tomorrow.
Good work,
well
mate.
Well done, mate.
Continue to dominate.
Peace, brothers. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Howard on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless.
Nick Newman joins us tomorrow from the Blues. I've just done this golf day, as I told you.
Yeah, how'd you go there,
Down at Peninsula Kingswood, which is a magnificent place, by the way. It is a superb golf facility.
Yeah.
So I'm standing on a hole just driving all these groups coming through. And the Brickworks, which are Melbourne Brick. Remember, you used to sponsor the joke back in the day?
Yes, they did.
Remember Melbourne Brick?
Yeah. So
the bloke came up to me and he was from Melbourne Brick. He said, you won't remember this, but I sponsored the joke.
Did.
I said, I bloody do remember
it. That was a while ago, Jim.
It was a while ago. Anyway, time after time, blokes exactly like us are coming through to hit the ball. And every single time.
Said how good.
They went, Bill Brownless, can't be as stupid as he sounds. No, like every time, and I go, mate. He's worse. Like, not as stupid, more stupid. And then the next group would come up and they go, Bill can't, he's putting that on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with the idiot file, he's putting that on. I said, no, mate,
no.
That's how he rolls.
They would have said, how good have his jokes been last week?
No one said that.
Retro.
That's the funny bit. Not a person said that.
Retro.
It was retro round.
Round,
last week.
It was. Of
all
jokes.
Of them were regurgitated.
And?
One for the fifth time.
And one of them is number one, isn't it? Yes, thank you, Beersy, shaking his head out there. The Wabbit one, the little cute Wabbit.
Oh, my God. Anyway, hey. So Nick Newman tomorrow.
Nicholas. Who?
More joke now.
Played really well the other night, Nicholas.
All right.
Well, Kerno maybe got the votes.
Oh,
but,
I reckon. Mm. Yeah, anyway.
Day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Well, a lot of love for Builders Academy, by the way. They've stuck around because your jokes have been awesome, Bill.
Legends making legends. I couldn't find the credit and just come to me.
Right.
Wow, look at the time. It's nearly 6 o'clock, so we must get on with a short joke today.
Short one.
Yes. What's ET short for?
What?
I don't know. He's just born that way. Not bad. Girls are laughing. Oh, maybe not her. She doesn't laugh at a lot anymore.
No, that's because she's a sane,
no.
Normal, intelligent person.
She's got the same blood running through her veins as
born
you.
Born that way.
Jimmy Jokeless.
Born right, that way.
Thanks.
He's short.
Yes.
Born that way.
That's why he's short.
So do you actually think that's funny?
E.T. was. What's it short for?
Can't even get it out. Let alone make it funny. You can't get it out.
He was born that way. Poor old E.T.
He's tiny.
Phone home.
Mondays
phone
aren't out.
Home.
You're not out, guy. Look at him now holding his fingers out.
Phone home.
There's not much more of this song. Howie, coming to India.
Woo!